Have your Bible with you here this morning. If you can take and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll be looking at that here in just a moment. Now, there are some things in this world that really don't make a whole lot of sense. And growing up, I noticed some things like that. Like when I was a child or growing up, I was in school and studying history, and I saw pictures of these kamikaze pilots, and I always wondered, why are they wearing helmets? What was the point of them having a helmet? I often wondered why when people go visit a psychic, the first thing they have to do is tell the psychic their name. Shouldn't the psychic already know who is there talking to them? I wonder why they call it instant credit when as soon as you get it, you have instant debt, right? Shouldn't they just call it instant debt instead of instant credit? I always wondered why tourists would go to the top of tall buildings and put money and pay for a telescope so they can look at things close up on the ground, right? If you want to see things close up on the ground, you can be on the ground and you can see them close up. Why spend money to do that? Growing up, I always wondered why my dad would ask me, Ed, do you want a spanking? Like, how am I supposed to answer that? Yes. Can I have one tomorrow too, please? I mean, of course I don't want a spanking. What kind of question is that? There are things in this world that don't make a whole lot of sense. And as I live in this world, I see some things that really do make no sense. I don't understand why we live in a world where we have lost the value of life. We live in a world where from the unborn to the elderly and everywhere in between, there's no value of life. We live in a world where wrong is celebrated and right is persecuted. It's backwards. It's crazy. Simple things like prayer and Bible study become offensive. You know, people will say that there is no God and God doesn't exist and that the Bible is just a book of fairy tales that it's just fiction. It doesn't have any meaning. But somehow praying to a being that doesn't exist is offensive. I don't know why that would be offensive if he doesn't exist. And why reading a book, or not even reading, why even having a book sitting on your desk that's just full of fairy tales is so offensive? Obviously, there's more to that. Things that used to be simple common sense are now questioned. Would you agree we live in a pretty mixed up, crazy world? First Peter was written at a time when the world was a little crazy. It was written at a time when there was persecution. Nero was persecuting Christians, and there was torture, and it was one of the worst times of persecution. Christians were being scattered throughout Asia. Not long before Peter's death, he writes these words, this letter to the Christians, challenging them how to live in an unfriendly world. As we begin chapter 1, he reminds them of the importance of their salvation and the value of their relationship with Christ and the importance of that salvation, the value of that relationship, and how that spurs them to live in the world. And then he continues and he writes these words that we'll read today, beginning in verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Prepare our minds for action. The early Christians understood they lived in a world that wasn't their ally. They lived in a world that wasn't friendly to them. And they chose, as they lived in this world, to take action. So they refused to worship the emperor as God. And as they refused to worship the emperor, they were considered to be atheists and traitors. They refused to worship at pagan temples. The business of these money-making enterprises dropped in places that Christianity spread because they refused to do business in these temples, and they were persecuted because of that. Christians decided that they weren't going to support the Roman ideas of self, power, and conquest. And the Romans didn't understand this self-sacrificing service of these believers. Christians took the unpopular opinion of exposing and rejecting immorality in their culture. And these Christians chose to live in this culture and impact the culture with the gospel of Christ without allowing the culture to impact them. Does that sound familiar? That's similar to the world that we live in today. We no longer live in a nation that is a follower of Jesus. I would say we no longer live in a nation that has a Christian culture. We live in an unfriendly time in an unfriendly world. We can't worship at the feet of nationalism. We can't worship false gods or power. We have to reject the immorality in our culture in such a way that we point people to the loving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have to get dirty. And we have to invest in our culture. We have to be a part of our culture, be involved in our culture without letting it infect us. We can't join it. We can't pull away from it. We have to be involved in it with the gospel of Christ. How do we do that? We prepare our minds for action, preparing ourselves mentally. Are we willing to take a stand? Are we willing to take time to think? In order to survive in our world, we have to be tough-minded. So what do we do to prepare ourselves? How do we find the information we need to prepare ourselves to walk as a Christian in this world? Do we find it on the news? Do we watch Fox News or CNN or something else, and is that where we gather our information? Or how about Facebook? That's a great source of information. Other social media. How about we listen to our political candidates and let them give us the information that we need to live in this world? We can rely on other people. How about we change that? How about we do something different and we truly seek God in His desires? How about we seek what He would have and we don't seek things that others would have for us? Instead of arguing over things on social media which may not have any benefit, how about we spend time engaging in real meaningful conversations? You know, I made the mistake once of getting involved in a Facebook conversation. One of my friends had posted something that was unbiblical, and I just made a simple comment, and 100 and some comments later, and 3 days later, I'm in the middle of this conversation. I'm like, why am I doing this? It had no benefit whatsoever. We need to take that stand and let the Bible direct us into what we need to do. Let's allow ourselves to be challenged by those that push us to live godly standards. In Acts 2:42, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That relationship and that fellowship, let's study God's word, let's put ourselves around people who help us to grow what Christ would have us to do. Also, be tough-minded. We understand what we're fighting against. What is our enemy? What are we fighting against? It's not the Republicans, and it's not the Democrats. What are we fighting for? What is it that we're taking a stand for? These are great questions that we have to answer. And in 1 Peter, when the Christians were under attack, what Peter says to them is, you are fighting for the truth of the gospel. We are fighting for the truth of who Jesus is, and we're fighting for the opportunity to take the gospel and to share it with the people around us and let the gospel change lives. That's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the stand that we are taking. Everything else is secondary to the gospel, which is why I really believe when Peter started this letter, he made sure that the readers of the letter understood the importance of their salvation, because that is the basis for everything else. We often get worked up over the wrong things. We get upset over things that really don't matter. And we're fighting battles that aren't worth fighting. We need to take a stand and fight for the battles that are. And preparing beforehand and determining what stands we need to take will help us to live in this world. We also need to prepare ourselves spiritually. We have to develop strong spiritual disciplines in our life. How is your prayer life? How much time do we spend praying? How much time do we spend in God's Word? How much time do we spend gathering with other believers and challenging each other to grow? In verse 15 it says, but the Holy One who called you, be yourselves holy in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This doesn't happen accidentally. This isn't something that we can just be around and it just happens. An hour a week in church isn't going to help us to be holy like He is holy. It's not going to help us to strive for that. And I've had a student ask me one time, they said, I will never be like God. Why do I strive for that? And so we don't set our goals so they're easy to reach. We set our goals to give us something that we shoot for, even if they're not something we can accomplish. Like if I told you that I had a goal today that I was going to eat lunch after church, that's a pretty easy goal, because sometime after church I'm going to eat. All right, I'm going to eat lunch. But we need to set goals that we strive for, and striving for that holiness, striving for what God would have for us is what we need to do. Communicating with God on a personal level. How about personal worship? You know, we gather together in corporate worship. How much time do we spend in our own personal worship? Just us and God. Spending time praying, reading God's word, singing. People that know me know that if I'm going to sing, personal worship is the best time for me to sing and not in corporate worship. But spending that time in worshiping Him outside of church. If we're going to live in this world, we have to develop spiritual disciplines and a relationship with God that is real. That is something that is us and God that can take us through. I challenge us that we need to learn to see the world through God's eyes and not through our eyes. We need to ask God for His vision. We need to be intentional and truly consider things through the eyes of God. He is the Creator, not just through our eyes. It says in verse 13 that prepare our minds for action, but it says keep sober in the spirit. Be self-controlled. Be disciplined. Anybody besides me dislike the word discipline? That's not really one of my favorite words. We have to be disciplined in our obedience. In verse 14, as obedient children, Do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. Obedience, John 14:15 says, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. This is something that is conscious action of the will. It's something that we have to do. If we're going to be disciplined, we have to take action and not something we just talk about. Over the last few years, I put on a couple pounds that I don't really like. All right, I don't like the fact that I've gained some weight. I don't like the fact that when I go play basketball, two or three trips up the court, I'm breathing heavy. And those things, I don't like them. And I can do something about them. Like I went, I got a membership at the gym. All right, so every month I make a donation to the Wyoming Athletic Club. All right, I'm keeping them in business. My donation to the athletic club does nothing to help me. I could actually go there. And I could go there and I could walk around. And they have lots of neat equipment. And I could walk around and look at all that equipment. And even on that equipment, they have like TVs. And I could watch a baseball game while sitting there in the athletic club. But if I don't get on one of those machines and do something, it doesn't do me any good. I have to do something about it. See, I can choose to like or dislike the fact that I'm out of shape. But I have to do something or it doesn't make any difference. I can complain about it a whole lot. I can sit and I can complain about the fact that I have to buy bigger pants. All right? I can complain. I can gripe. But it doesn't make any difference. I can make a promise. I promise that starting tomorrow, I'm going to get in shape. And if I don't do something, my promise means nothing. We have to be disciplined. Working to put action to what we say we want to do. See, a lot of people want the benefits of a relationship with Christ and the benefits of salvation without any sacrifice. We want to see change in our world and change in our culture, but we don't want to do anything to make that change happen. We just want to see something happen without any effort from ourselves, and life does not work that way. It's too often times we want to live our life in compartments. We want to live life where we have our church life, and we can do church here, and church is good, and I can do my political life is over here. My political life might not match my spiritual life, but that's okay. And then I have my work life, and I can work here, and I can do things here at work, and my work is here, and my spiritual life is here, and then I have my recreation, and I can recreate over here, and I can live in all these different things, and they're all, nothing crosses each other. And friends, we can't live that way. Our relationship with Jesus Christ needs to impact every single thing that we do. All aspects of our life. The most important thing, the center of what we do, is who Jesus is in our life. And everything else needs to be measured by that relationship. Only if we do that can we live for Christ every day. Is obeying Jesus and following him worth the cost? It's a question that we can only answer for ourselves. We have to follow Jesus in our behavior, the former lust, things that are different. Romans 12 says, do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed, changed. See, most times we get upset because the lost world lives like the lost world, and we're so busy being upset because lost people live like lost people, and we're not nearly as upset by the fact that maybe we're living like lost people. Transformed, changed. The world's going to be the world. We need to impact that world by change people. Our behavior will show who we serve. Not what we say, but what we do. See, the Roman gods, they were warlike. They were adulterers. They were spiteful, bloodthirsty, promiscuous. Secular gods today are popularity, money, success, ourselves. These are what people live for. And we don't know any better. These are the gods that we serve. When people don't know any better, they're going to serve these gods. We know better. We have a greater God to serve. Don't let these outside influences control our lives. So many times Christians allow all this outside stuff to control us, but we need to be controlled by the one who made us new. The one who made us a new creation. Be people of action, not people of reaction. See, it's time for our excuses to end, and it's time for us to strive for the holiness that God has for us. We need to set our eyes on Jesus. It says in verse 13, fixing your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, eternal change isn't made when we persuade somebody to come to our side in an argument. Eternal change doesn't happen when we convince somebody to change political persuasions. Eternal change doesn't happen when we win an argument on a moral issue. Eternal change comes from the inside as Jesus Christ transforms our lives. Instead of selling ideas, instead of selling concepts, how about we point people to Jesus, the saving knowledge of the one who really can make change happen? Salvation only comes through him. John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is one way of salvation. We need to point people to Jesus. We are created for relationship with him. As Peter writes this gospel, there is great persecution. There's all this stuff happening. Christians are scattered. And Peter says to them, there is nothing in this life that's going to bring you satisfaction other than Jesus. The only way you're going to be able to walk through this is in a relationship with Jesus. There's lots of things in our world that can bring us temporary satisfaction. Kelly Walsh High School boys basketball team just won the state championship. And there are some students here today that are a little tired because they were up watching the game last night. That brings temporary satisfaction. Casper College won the Region 9 tournament. Watching players jump up and down and all over the court and the excitement, but that's temporary. There are so many times we put our hope and our trust and our worth in things that are temporary, in things that don't last, in things that ultimately are not going to fulfill us. People are seeking and they're searching and they're trying to find something, and satisfaction only comes in a relationship with Jesus, walking with him. If you're here this morning, you're trying to find your satisfaction in anything but Jesus, you'll never find it. It won't happen. It's not possible. God brings us that satisfaction. We are only effective through him. See, the Christians of Peter's day here, they knew that they had no confidence in their government. Their government wasn't going to help them. Their rulers weren't going to fix things for them. They knew that wasn't going to happen. But they believed that they had the power to transform the world apart from what's happening around them. They believed they had that power and knew that power came through Jesus. Our goal is to be more like him, to be more like Jesus, to live like Jesus. What does that look like in our lives? When I take those spiritual gift tests, you ever take one of those? I have like this much mercy. I have no mercy. But I can be merciful because I serve a God who is merciful. You know, sometimes it's hard to love people. And you know people. I mean, nobody in this room, but we all know people that are hard to love. But we can love because we serve a God who is a God of love. We can be bold because we serve a God who gives us boldness. We can live life victorious because we serve a God who has already won the victory. I think about the Christians in Peter's day and all the persecution they were going through, and they knew that in the end of that persecution, whatever happened, they were going to stand and they were going to worship at the feet of the one who won the victory. We can live victorious because we serve a God who has won the victory, and apart from him, we are nothing. He is our strength. So fulfillment comes when we live this life focused on him. I think of people all over this world struggling through life. Believers and unbelievers, fearful, not sure what the future holds, going day to day, doing the best that they can, trying to find something that has meaning. And here we sit in a church service and we worship a God who brings that meaning. See, with him and our focus eternally on him, every day making that decision to follow him, then we can live triumphantly. I heard a quote that says this: in Jesus, life is an open opportunity. What others see as catastrophes, God opens doors to make himself known. Every day is an opportunity, and we need to make that decision to take the opportunity and to do something with it. So we live in a world, and we need to be alert, disciplined, and focused. The only way that we're going to live in a world that is not a Christian world and make a difference is if we follow Jesus every single day. And if we are alert, disciplined, and focused in that life. I don't know what God may be saying to you this morning. Let me invite you to listen to the voice of God. to that voice that speaks to you and respond to Him. We live in a world, and you may be going through different things and have things happening in your life. This is an opportunity for you to say, God, I'm going to give this to you and I'm going to trust in you. Whatever God may be speaking to you, you respond to Him. But this morning, listen to God and respond to Him as He speaks to you.
I had decided to follow Jesus. I had decided to follow Jesus. I had decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back.